You're listening to the European Tour Race to Dubai show.
Hello, I'm Richard Kaufman, and a very warm welcome from Gleneagles, where Europe secured a 11.5 points victory over the USA to reclaim the Ryder Cup in style.
What a shot! Oh, it's almost in the hole! Oh, my goodness me! What a shot! He spun it back to no more than 18 inches, and that, I can assure you, is the Ryder Cup. Yes, it's conceded, and Jamie Donaldson's wonderful approach shot from the middle of the fairway on 15 has won the Ryder Cup for Europe.
Paul Eales, Matt Adams, and a former winner at Gleneagles, Gregory Avray, are with me. We're here from both captains, players from both camps, as well as from a very proud Knight of the Realm.
To be involved in the intensity of it all and right in the hub of it was something special for me.
Well, we've been enthralled by what we've seen over the 3 days as a whole. Europe big favourites, 10-6 their lead after a fabulous foursome session on Saturday evening. And Europe, in the end, got the job done. Let me run you through the scores, first of all, from the 12 matches. Graham McDowell beating Jordan Spieth 2-1, even though at one point he was 3 down in that match. The fiery Patrick Reed getting it done 1-up against Henrik Stenson. Rory McIlroy, when he came out, all guns blazing, and in the end just blew away Ricky Fowler with a 5-4 win. Up and down, Hunter Mahan out of the traps fast, 4-up, and in the end had to settle for a half against Justin Rose, the top point scorer at this Ryder Cup. Phil Mickelson rested on Saturday, pretty good on Sunday, 3-1 win over Stephen Gallagher. A magical moment as Martin Kaymer chipped in to conclude things against Bubba Watson with a 4-2 win. Thomas Bjorn up against Matt Kuchar, it was Kuchar that took that one, 4-3. Sergio Garcia and Jim Furyk came down 18. Garcia got it done 1-up. Ian Poulter and Webb Simpson shared the spoils with a half match. Jamie Donaldson, as we heard, got the winning shot in there. What a shot at 15. A 4-3 win over Keegan Bradley. Jimmy Walker with one of the rounds of the day. 8 birdies, no drop shots in a 3-2 win over Lee Westwood. Certainly one of the standout players for the Americans. And the final match that maybe finished, I think, something like 45 minutes after the others. Victor Dubuisson and Zach Johnson finishing with a halved match to leave that scoreline, as I say, 16.5 points to 11.5 points. Well, where do we start? I suppose with match one, don't we? With Graham McDowell and Jordan Spieth, a really topsy-turvy battle. But with Jordan Spieth set out first by Tom Watson to get the job done along with Patrick Reed, he looked like he was doing it, didn't he? And Paul, he led for much of the match, but McDowell's experience told in the end, perhaps.
Yes, I was a couple of matches behind and all we could hear was Jordan Spieth 1-up, Jordan Spieth 2-up, got to 3-up, had a chance to go to 4-up, but then came Graham McDowell. What a run he had through the middle part of the round and then edged it 2-1 in the end. So that turnaround meant that the top of the board had blue on it, because for one point through that afternoon, there was more and more and more red on there, which must have been a worry for Captain McGinley.
Yeah, the Americans were up in 6 games, but it didn't last very long, did it, Gregory? And these European players trailed, didn't they, Friday morning? They trailed Saturday morning, but they've got the belief in their own abilities, it would seem, to turn it around, and they showed great fortitude against what was a very good American performance.
Absolutely. Just to come back a little bit on Graham's game, I think that was very important what he said just after the game. That Sir Alex Ferguson said that even if you're down 3 down, 4 down, it doesn't matter. You have to make birdies, make scores, try to come back. First of all, because you can do it, and as long as you play, you can come back into the game. But also for the other people and for the crowd to know that you make birdie, you win hole. And this energy, this positive energy is so important on the golf course that all the players knows about it. And I don't know if it's this or not, but it's kind of a strange thing that as soon as Graham McDowell came back in the game and won after, all the red came back to square and then came to blue, and it looks like it could have been a big part of this comeback from Europe, because earlier on, for sure, America started definitely really well today.
Well, the comeback was completed, wasn't it, by Jamie Donaldson. What a magical moment. Ron Jones spoke with him afterwards.
Jamie, that was pretty sensational, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. I started off a little bit slow. I didn't quite get into my rhythm early doors. And then after a good putt on 3, found my rhythm and played really well from that point.
But what everyone will remember, of course, is that marvellous shot into the 15th green there.
Yeah, I had a perfect yardage. Just had to put a good swing on it and it came off perfectly.
But for as long as you live and as long as you play golf, you'll remember that shot, won't you?
I won't forget it in a hurry.
And more importantly of all, yeah, I mean, it's been a great debut for you in the Ryder Cup, and to actually play the shot that won it must be a bit special.
Yeah, it's incredible. I mean, Paul told me the order last night, and he said you'll be out 10. And he said, listen, you're playing well. You've played well all week. Just keep playing well, and you never know, it might come down to your game. And so I just concentrate on my routines, and you know, it just happened it did come down to my game. I wasn't aware of it exactly, but knew over the last couple of holes there that it was looking that way. I just had to stay in the present and keep playing good shots until there was no more holes to play.
And nice to see that Welsh flag over your shoulders.
Incredible. It's been an unbelievable week. I've had so much support. The crowds have been immense. It's a wonderful feeling.
It's not to be wise after the event, Matt Adams, but there was a lot of European players that came here in good form. You have to say the Americans, missing some players that we know about, the likes of Tiger, Dustin Johnson, Billy Horschel, maybe they didn't have enough of the big guns they required for this week.
Well, clearly that was the case. I mean, there isn't too much you can do with a player that's injured like Tiger, or a player that's just not playing like Dustin Johnson's doing right now, but there is something down the road you can do about a player like Billy Horschel. You have to take a look at when you're making your picks to make sure that you get the hottest players running through. I think it's a testament to how well the playoffs are going on the PGA Tour that now they're producing players that go on these runs, and they're significant runs at that. And so, yeah, I think that's something that needs to be looked at so that it helps strengthen the team down the road.
Yeah, we're going to talk about Tom Watson and his role. We'll hear from Tom a little bit later, but let's concentrate on the winning captain, shall we? Paul McGinley. Paul, obviously, as a winning captain, you're going to get a lot of praise, but I think Paul certainly deserves it.
There's no question about that. I mean, he's had his little black book, is it, and he's been putting in quotes and the experience that he's had from when he's played and won in Ryder Cup teams. He's been around this, and as Gregory was saying, he went out and he travelled. He spoke to the players. He took Victor by the hand and travelled with him to an event overseas just to see what the man was like. Would he fit in his team? So no stone was unturned in creating an atmosphere in which these 12 players could actually play and perform, and that's what he's done, and all credit to him.
Well, we need to hear, don't we, from that winning captain. Here is Paul McGinley talking with Matt Adams.
Paul McGinley, sir, congratulations.
Thank you. Obviously, we're thrilled. It's been terrific. 12 great players, and they've stood up and all been counted. I just feel really proud that the guys have finished off the job. You know, it would have been a catastrophe if we hadn't have won today from the winning position we were in, and we knew America were going to come strong at us. But you know what? We were able to hold on.
How grateful are you to the fans here at Glen Eagles?
Yeah, well, they were huge. I mean, playing home advantage was massive. It can be a double-edged sword, but those guys didn't make it. Every single one of them were brilliant, and so appreciative, and so are the players. We talked about the roars, we talked about it all week long, playing at home and how much of an honour it is, and not to be burdened by it.
But it just shows you, doesn't it? Obviously, a lot of Ryder Cup captains have had great Ryder Cup moments themselves. I suppose Paul did as well. He sunk a winning putt at the Belfry, didn't he, in 2002 when Europe won. But four European Tour titles, certainly not in the same esteem as a golfing player as Tom Watson. But Gregory, tactically, the way he approached this Ryder Cup left no stone unturned, from bringing in someone like Sir Alex Ferguson to talk to the players, to the way he rested Victor Dubuisson, treated him in the way that got the best out of Victor. It was those kind of things, those little details that were so important.
Absolutely. He rested also Mr. Stenson yesterday afternoon. He didn't win today, but that was important because he listened to Henrik, because he felt his back could have been a problem on Sunday. He listened to his players. And is it the same thing on the other side? I don't know. But for sure, Paul McGinley is really a character. Very nice to everybody. He's got kind words every time you do something well. And if you have a problem, he comes to you. He knows everybody. He knows. I mean, he's great for that. He's got all the details, but surely he does it naturally too. He's just a nice guy, and everybody appreciates him. And when we hear Jan Poulter in the end saying that Paul McGinley was a great captain, that's something. And from these boys, they could die for him, and that's what happened. I mean, they've been really, really strong all week long, and that's probably a part of it, a great ambience in between them.
Yeah, he had a wonderful week, a wonderful couple of years, really, Paul McGinley. I mentioned Fergie there, Sir Alex Ferguson, the former Manchester United manager. He was out on the course today watching Europe roar to victory, and after they sealed the deal, he spoke with Sue Thurl.
Sir Alex, what's this been like to watch? I know you've been at some fantastic occasions in your time, but this must be right up there.
Unbelievable. I think it's an experience for everyone. The fans up here in Scotland, they won't see this anything like this again. And for Glen Eagles to host it,
what a setting. For me, to be involved in the intensity of it all and right in the hub of it was something special for me, because I've retired a year and a half. All that intensity I was used to, it was recreated today.
And you played your part with your motivational speech as well, so you must be thrilled about that.
Well, I wasn't that good more out than they did, believe me. For me to be back in the sort of the boiling pot of real sportsmen was absolutely fantastic.
And you've enjoyed today.
Marvellous.
Thank you very much.
Well, that was Sir Alex Ferguson, of course, Manchester United manager for 28 years. We've spoken about how Paul McGinley brought him in. Tom Watson, well, he tried to do the job he could to get a win on European soil for the first time since 1993, which, of course, was the last time he captained the American side. Didn't work out for him. Let's hear Tom's thought on how he assessed his own captaincy.
I may have made a mistake in playing some players when they were tired as a captain. If I second-guessed myself, I think that's the thing I'd second-guess myself the most. But overall, I think my vice captains and I made the correct decisions for the most part, but it doesn't soothe the hurt, and the hurt's there.
I don't think anyone's ever going to talk too down about Tom because, of course, what he's done for the game as a player itself. But there were some big mistakes, weren't there, for him? He talked there about one of them. That there were others, Matt, weren't
there? He's going to face heavy criticism. There's no doubt. There's no way to get around that. The key is, though, what happened here this week was that Team USA was beat by a team that played better. It's that simple. In Team Europe, you have to take your hat off to them and say congratulations. That's first and foremost. Before anyone starts the speculation of what Tom Watson could have done differently here and there, they got beat by a team that was better this week. But yeah, I think there's a lot of things that from the U.S. side, they should take a hard look at. And what's always interesting to me is the amount of time that people spend searching for the elusive when it comes to the European side of the Ryder Cup as to the success that they have. One of the areas that they have been successful is how the captains are received by the players. Well, the players on the European side are involved in choosing their captains. That's something I think that the PGA of America might think about, getting the players more involved in who their captains will be. I also think that on the U.S. side, they should consider naming non-major champions as captains.
Like people, Paul McGinley, you mean?
Like Paul McGinley was, or Colin Montgomery prior at Celtic Manor, or someone like a Steve Stricker on the U.S. side that the players know, they love, that could be a good leader.
Maybe there's some good putting lessons as well.
Which is so important in the Ryder Cup, as we've seen time and again. And I think the last thing that I'm not sure where this balance comes from, maybe globally the game needs to take a look at it. I think we are asking an awful lot of the best players in the world in terms of the amount of golf we're asking them to play leading up to the Ryder Cup. Many of them came in exhausted. So I think that's one more thing to consider.
Yeah, some interesting point there from Matt Adams. Obviously, from an American perspective, it's another tough pill to swallow. And 8th defeat in the last 10 Ryder Cups. 20 years, really, of hurt as far as the American team are concerned. They obviously want to bounce back for Hazeltine National Golf Club in Minnesota in America in 2 years' time before they then return to European soil at the Golf National in Paris for the Ryder Cup in France. Let's get some more player reaction, shall we? How about Ian Poulter? Here he is summing up his emotions.
Amazing, truly, exceptional. The boys had to dig deep today, and we said it early in the week, don't get complacent. I don't think anybody was really getting too complacent, but the Americans were coming out strong. The board looked very good for them for a long period of time, but a lot of key matches today. G-Mac turned his match around, Jamie finishing his match early. You got to look at Justin, he was down quite considerably and managed to turn that around as well. So when you look at the matches that did turn, you can't just say one shot. You've got to say about all the putts and chips and bunker shots and everything. So this is a team effort. Everyone has done their job this week, and I just can't be more proud right now.
I suppose on a personal level, it wasn't Ian Poulter's greatest Ryder Cup. I mean, how do you top Medina in 2012? But like every single 12 men for Paul McGinley, he played his part.
He certainly did. I mean, Ian will be the first to admit that he's not had the best of seasons. He's not playing particularly well, but he did contribute. And I think the unity of those 12 players, the captain, his five vice captains, they have a team room. Nobody goes into that room other than the team. Whereas the US, it's a broader team. It's the PGA officials, and so you don't get that tightness. And I'm thinking that's one of the things that is possibly given the Europeans that edge over these last 10 matches. And as Dave Brailsford said, it's the aggregation of marginal gains. And this week is what's made it a very comprehensive victory for the Team Europe.
Well, no one contributed more points to the European cause than Justin Rose. He finished with a half match with Hunter Mahan. Let's hear from Justin.
the Ryder Cup really does produce drama. I mean, I don't know how it's come across to you guys all day, but at one point out there on the golf course, it felt like things were looking pretty bleak.
It was for you. You were four down, weren't you? But you fought back magnificently.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, I knew the captain talked about that last night. He said, if you're four down, you know, he gave a lot of credit to Peter Hansen. Even though Peter Hansen didn't win a point at Medina in the singles, he was six down and got it all the way to the 18th, which keeps confidence sort of filtering through the team. And he said, we're just going to keep going wave after wave after wave. And we knew they were going to come out with a kick today and they were going to come out strong. And we knew there was no complacency in our team. So to give the captain credit, he really foresaw what might unfold today. And we were ready for it. You know, like one of the analogies this week is, when the storm comes, we're going to be the rock. And it's exactly what happened today.
8 out of 10 Ryder Cups for the Europeans now. What's the secret formula to your success, do you think?
I think what Paul really realised is that it's not broken, so he's not going to try and fix it. He didn't try and change too much. He didn't over-captain. He just tried to gradually improve on all the great strategies that all the other captains had put in place. He did a brilliant job.
Yeah, he put together Justin Rose and Henrik Stenson. Listen to the two players. They wanted to play together. So did Sergio Garcia and Rory McIlroy. And, of course, they came up trumps. Also, he decided Graham McDowell was the right man to grab Victor Dubuisson. Of course, they won 2 out of 2 in the foursomes. Victor couldn't quite get his win in the singles, but it was a difficult role for him, Gregory, wasn't it? I mean, he still had an hour of golf to play after the Ryder Cup had been won. You were watching him down there. You must be very proud of your compatriots' contribution this week.
Oh, trust me, I am. I'm so happy for him. He's a great character, a great player, and I mean, he's got the years in front of him. Definitely will play many ones, and that's a great result for him, for France, for us. And it's really good. I mean, he played really well the first 2 days. Not as good today. I talked with his coach after the 18th last chip he had, and they felt like bizarre, a little bit of a bizarre on the beginning of the game, because all the crowd and everybody was in front and all the screaming, and they were like behind, and they knew it was important, but didn't know really how and when. And they were playing middle of the greens, two putts, many pars to start with. And all of a sudden, more and more people in the last 2 and 3 holes went just ballistic. It was just so impressive, the difference in between the first 13 holes and the last 5. I mean, that was unreal, this 18. It's somewhere luck, I think, for Victor to miss that putt on 17, because he lived something just unbelievable on the last hole. I mean, this crowd, I mean, it was just unreal, and what an experience.
Yeah, what an experience for him. I want to get a quick opinion from all of you. What about for you yourself, Gregory? Of course, you're a regular player on the European Tour. You've won here at Gleneagles. This was your first time inside the ropes at a Ryder Cup. What did you make of the experience?
I mean, I saw some fantastic golf yesterday. Definitely some good golf today, but from Jordan Spieth on the beginning, and then Graham McDowell, he came back from nowhere. I mean, win 2-1 after the first 8 holes was just absolutely impossible for me. And the game was average on the very first day. Maybe it was too windy and the greens were not as good as they were just after that. But some up and downs, and that's why I feel when I'm playing on European Tour, and as soon as I'm struggling, I'm not as confident as them. And they play some bad shots, but never mind, they go 1 down, 2 down, bad drive. Okay, it's like that, but I'm going to have a great tee shot on the next hole. I'm going to make beautiful iron shot. And Graham McDowell today is a beautiful symbol of this Ryder Cup. You can come back from everywhere. It's a beautiful symbol, just only for golf. I mean, you can come back from anywhere, and that's the big experience I've learned.
Of course, we could talk about the Ryder Cup for hours, but we've got to move on to other things. Some news away from the Ryder Cup. Jack Nicklaus, the 18-time major winner, considered by many as the greatest golfer in the history of the game, has been awarded honorary life membership of the European Tour. Matt, what can you say about Jack Nicklaus? This isn't a big surprise, is it?
No, it really isn't. I to be honest with you, I'm kind of surprised it hasn't happened before this, but one more honor for the great man that deserves many.
Yeah, indeed. Well, let's have a quick word on the next event on the European Tour, the Alfred Dunhill Lynx Championship in Scotland. It's played over 3 courses, 3 terrific courses as well, St Andrews, Carnoustie and King's Barn. It's a kind of a pro-am format. Paul, just give us an idea of some of the players that'll be in the field next week.
Well, the world number one, Rory McIlroy, he'll be there. Martin Keimer, Victor Dubuisson, Stephen Gallagher, who we've seen this week. Ernie Els will be there. Always great to see Ernie. My favourite might be Peter Uihlein. He went close. He shot 60 round King's Barnes in the same event last year. Watch out for that.
Yeah, there might be, Matt, a few...
You just made your pick already.
Well, it was a bit presumptuous, wasn't it?
Goes but quick, he wants to go.
He wants to get it in first in case I ask someone else and they said Peter Uihlein. Now, Matt, there might be a few Ryder Cup headaches as well going in there. So, you know, you never know how those players that have played at Glen Eagles and, you know, pop those champagne corks, how they're going to react.
I actually think the event is not one where players are going to judge their year based upon how well or how well they do not play at courses like St. Andrews and Carnoustie and King's Barnes, with all the celebrities on three great golf courses. The Old Course and Carnoustie speak for themselves. King's Barnes, which is going to have a major on the women's side of the game coming up. I mean, talk about a great rotation. It's just, you can't get better than those three.
No, indeed. Gregory, you're going to be playing in it, of course. Just give us an idea of the format. What do you have to do?
This is an alliance, which is you have to play with an amateur, and you play with another pro who plays with an amateur also. So it's four balls. You go through the three courses the first 3 days. So there's a cut after that for the pros, of course. The top 60 players will play the next day, and the top 20 teams are going to play also on Sunday. So it's a double tournament, well, especially mainly a European Tour event, of course, but also a huge program and a beautiful experience. And as you said before, I mean, three courses, the best of Scotland there.
David Howe, the defending champion. You were in, you know, pretty good form. You had a chance to win in the last European Tour event. How do you think you're going to fare in this one?
Well, Paul Hills didn't mention my name. No. I'm a bit surprised.
Who are you? Is Gregory Avray going to pick?
2 yards away from him, and he's not scared, apparently.
Is Gregory Avray going to pick Gregory Avray?
Of course. I mean, huge practice this last 5 days, and I'm really in form, obviously. No, I'm playing better since beginning of June. Last week was really good. I was like, if I win that Wales Open, I'll be very happy in front of those boys. They will say, well done, Greg, blah, blah, blah. But no, I triple bogeyed 14th to finish nowhere, actually. But, I mean, the game was definitely good. I enjoyed myself. I'm enjoying myself on European Tour. I just love playing out there, and I'm quite happy that the job's quite done this year. But I want some bonuses. I'm 74th right now. I want to get in Shanghai. I want to get in Turkish, and obviously also Dubai in the end of the year. And for this, I need a good result, definitely at the Dunhill Links, which is probably one of the biggest, if not the biggest, now with Wentworth. It's the second biggest tournament of the year, so huge one. It's a pro-am, an alliance, okay, but how important this is for us, trust me. It is. So hopefully they will have big headache, those four boys. Like this, we can maybe squeeze up the thing a little bit better than usual, yeah.
Okay, well, we've got to say Gregory Avray is going to go with Gregory Avray. We know Paul Hills is going...
No, I threw one in.
That wasn't your pick?
You're not
Come on, you can't
mind,
change
now.
Your mind. You can't switch over your jacket.
It's the world number one. I've seen him play today.
So you're going for Rory McIlroy now?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm crossing out Peter
Uihlein.
Wow,
big risk.
Yeah,
Paul.
I know.
Thank you. What about
you,
Matt?
It's a banker.
I think I'm going to have to pick Gregory Avray.
Oh, no, what?
Thank you very much.
But I'll pick a second.
Everybody's happy behind you. Thank you very much.
I'll pick a second. If you don't win, I think Paul Casey is
Look at that. I've that got that.
Did I just pick yours?
You just picked mine.
Paul, do you mind if I have the list? I don't
know. Oh, the list.
We can both go for Paul Casey. Gregory's having a look through the list here. He's going to see if he can.
You know what?
Another name.
I'm going to go for my French favorite player right now, Victor Dubuisson. I was very impressed yesterday and the day before. Hopefully he's going to play because he's on the list, but with him we never know, actually. So hopefully he's going to play. So if he doesn't play, I have to pick another one. I'm going to go for Ernie Els, a specialist on the links type. He loves it. He plays with his father usually. Yeah, Ernie Els.
Okay, I think we got half the field covered there.
I think Gregory has himself finishing third.
He'll take
Did
that
I mention?
You?
I didn't mention myself.
Anyway, that's all we got time for now. What a week it's been, of course, in Glen Eagles, with Europe coming out 16.5 points to 11.5 points winners. From me, Richard Crofman, from Gregory Avray, from Paul Hills and Matt Adams, goodbye.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. May I welcome you to the PGA Centenary Course, Glen Eagles, for the first day's play of the 2014 Ryder Cup.
Now swings down towards the hole, and off come the caps, and that is a win for Europe.
Sends it forward, the cries everywhere. Does he like it? Does he like it? Oh, you'd better believe he likes it!
In the hole, and Europe have won on 17-2-1. looks very nice. He loves that chip. He loves that chip.
I am so proud of Victor. This is amazing. C'est énorme. This is enormous. What a beautiful win. What a beautiful victory.
He's missed it. He's missed it. And Rory McIlroy has beaten Ricky Fowler 5-4.
Looks like it is a good bet. That's in. That's a win for G-Mac. Europe's got one more point.
Getting closer up to the hole. He has hold it. It's in. Martin Kaymer.
Oh, what a shot. Oh, it's almost in the hole. Oh, my goodness me. What a shot. He spun it back to no more than 18 inches. And that, I can assure you, is the Ryder Cup for Europe. Yes, it's conceded, and Jamie Donaldson's wonderful approach shot from the middle of the fairway on 15 has won the Ryder Cup for Europe.